Interesting. This happens a lot, and it blows my mind when this happens. So obviously, coming here, you have no idea what I'm going to talk about whatsoever. Like, none. If you do, that's really weird, because it's only been in my head. And you wouldn't know. If you did, that'd be kind of cool. But most typically, you're not aware of what the speaker's going to talk about. And it happens often. I don't preach a lot anymore these days. I'm not in a preaching position or in a church and teaching and that kind of thing. But when I do, it seems that this happens often. The ladies just sang a song, and they sang a portion of exactly what I'm going to talk to you about today. That is wild to me. I'm like, oh my goodness. No. A part of it, they sang a portion of carrying, picking up the cross, following Jesus, dying to self, so on and so forth. And they, the verse that they sang or was referenced was in Matthew. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 14. And we are going to talk today and have a conversation around this whole topic of being a disciple of Jesus. I want to bang that around today. I want to have a conversation about it. I want to think about it. I want you to, when you leave here, hopefully feel a little bit uncomfortable and that you're going to have to wrestle with something when you leave here. Because I'll tell you why, it's because I'm wrestling with it. If you have gone through any bit of life, like many of us have, and life has, you know, gone ways we didn't expect, or this way or that way, or whatever, if we've been through any amount of life, no matter our age, I think there's a time when we come to where we wrestle and we go, what is this whole following of Jesus thing really got to do with anything anyway? And we question that. I know maybe you haven't asked that question. Maybe you're more spiritual than me. I'll be honest, I have asked it. What is this? How is this all playing out? What does this mean? What does it look like? What I thought, what I didn't think, perceptions, ideas, concepts, whatever. There are all kinds of things that can cause us to do that. In the song they sang, they actually said, they sang a portion of that song, but actually there's a kind of caveat in the verse in Luke 14, 27 that says, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." That's scary language when we talk about discipleship. Has anyone mastered being a follower of Jesus yet? Oh, perfect. Because I can tell you, I have not. And I wrestle with it. I bounce around on it. I think about it. Challenges come our way. And I think that's exactly what we're supposed to do. I think we're supposed to wrestle with it. I think we're supposed to be challenged by it. And we're going to talk about this. I'm going to throw some things at you. And we're just going to, I'm going to lay some information out there. I'm not going to give you all the answers. I'm not going to give you all the information. I'm not going to solve it all for you in the next, wow, it's quarter after 12. Next 5 minutes. But if I do, that would be really great. But I'm not. I just want to have a conversation about it because I find myself there to evaluating where I land and not whether I make the cut or not to cancel myself out, but simply to evaluate. And I think we find ourselves a place we should where we are evaluating because we never arrive. I think a lot of times we think Christianity is an arrival point. We arrive at something. We figured this out, so we've landed here. And now I've got it all figured out. And we see it as a line that goes like this, and it's linear, and we've done this, we've checked this one, we've checked this one, we've checked this one, and we end up here, and I've got it all figured out. I've arrived and landed at this place. And being mid-40s, I can tell you, I know you're like, you're just mid-40s. You're just such a young lad. Being mid-40s, that I figured out that, man, the line is not linear. It's like this. And it goes like this. And but the process of evaluating it. So I want to lay some of these things out there. Some of these verses we're going to read are actually a little uncomfortable, but it gets down to being a disciple. I think we say the word followers a lot, followers of Jesus or Christians, but if you really look at the word disciple, it is so much deeper. There's a greater depth to the idea of being a disciple than even just being a follower. I think we throw that around because it feels kind of loosey, but you can follow anybody around, and they have no bearing on your life whatsoever. You can follow all kinds of people and have no bearing on who we are. I want to wrestle with this idea of being a disciple. Probably, if you're in the room today and you make a profession of Christ and you say you're a follower of Christ, or you're a Christian, probably when you began that journey, it probably began with a question. And that question was, do you want to be saved? Maybe you were in a meeting and you asked that question, you want to be saved. Do you want to be forgiven of your sins? Who doesn't want that when you come down to it? Have you been forgiven? Have your sins been? Do you want to have your sins taken away? Do you want to go to heaven? All valid questions. Probably many in the room, your faith journey started with that question. But then I follow it up and I say, how many of us were started with the question, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Do you want to be a disciple? See, you see, Jesus, when he called who we know as the disciples, the 12, the apostles, he actually just invited them. That's all he said to them, come follow me. He was literally meaning that. Some he asked, some he basically told, come follow me. And they dropped what they were doing, and in that particular context, it made sense because he was a rabbi and a teacher. And if you look through and read through, you begin to realize that all kinds of people had disciples. There were teachers, rabbis. They all had little packs that they were their disciples and followed them. And Jesus was a teacher, and he was inviting these individuals, Peter, James, John, the whole crew of them, to follow him. He was inviting them to be disciples, and they didn't even really know. We don't even know when these disciples actually, by our terminology, became Christians. We don't really know those things. They were called Christians by outsiders. But first, Jesus said to them, I want you to follow me. I want you to be my disciple. I'm going to teach you. Probably most of us didn't quite start that way because the idea of being a disciple is way deeper than just some of the other questions maybe we've wrestled with. And I wrestle through some of this stuff as well to land and understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and to follow him. Some of the greatest stories about disciples, I've probably used this before somewhere, but I don't know. I always think of the Karate Kid. I don't know why, from the 80s, Miyagi, the Karate Kid, and whole wax on, wax off thing, right? All he wanted to do was fight. He wanted to stick up for himself, and he didn't get to stick up for himself till after he's taught all these stupid lessons and made to paint boards on painting. Oh, I have to paint too. Ugh. I'm still learning lessons, but the whole wax on, wax off thing, the whole painting, the boards, the fence, and this just laborious, non-exciting stuff. But in order for him to learn, he had to fully engage at being a disciple of his teacher, and any disciple role is like that. Even in the story of the Karate Kid, the other guy who was the bad guy in the story, he was a disciple too. He was fully committed to his teacher, obedient, listening, doing all of these things to be a disciple, and these imageries of disciples. Luke Skywalker was a disciple to Yoda. He was, we see these things, that they gave themselves fully to the teacher to learn. It's an amazing thing that Jesus calls us into that. Discipleship is an incredibly personal journey. If you get that or not, in our world, we've over-corporatized and institutionalized faith journeys. Well, I want to get you back to the reality. Being a follower of Jesus is an incredibly intimate journey with Jesus. Period. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father unless he calls them to me. That is an incredibly personal thing that you and I get to experience. That even if we are not in the same room together, I can have a journey with Jesus in my faith and discipleship of him that doesn't involve anyone else. Now, we get to do it in community. We get to do it in congregation, which is great. But first and foremost, when that thing happens, for you and for me, it is a personal, personal journey of committing my heart to his leadership and his teaching of me to work on me. The beautiful thing about disciples is, if you look at the first 12 and first bunch, what's amazing is it's not an arrival point, thankfully, because they made more mistakes and floundered and bumbled over themselves. And that's where we see grace come into our lives and into the things and the mistakes and the things that we make in our lives. As a disciple, Jesus doesn't look at us, okay, you're now my disciple, and you're now perfect. I'm so glad it doesn't work that way. It sometimes works that way between us, right? Well, if you're a disciple of Jesus, well then you have to have it right. So-and-so made a mistake. Ugh, again? You know, all these things. We do this, but a disciple is in a personal, intimate journey with Jesus. By definition, it is just that, follower of Christ, a person who is a pupil or an adherent of the doctrines of another or follower under the influence of. You can be followers of all kinds of people. I don't know in this room, but I have many friends who are disciples to Tony Horton. Anyone who Tony Horton is? This is a great room. It's like, what? Man, that is totally ruined. You don't know who Tony Horton is. Jalen knows who Tony Horton is. Tony Horton, he's like fitness guru at P90X, yada, 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 Beachbody. Beachbody coaches everywhere. A friend of mine's a high-ranking coach within Beachbody, and she's making all kinds of money now because she's a coach and all this kind of stuff. She's literally a disciple of Tony Horton. He's the one who started it all. He's the mind behind it all. Maybe you're into baking, and maybe you're leaders. I don't know. Maybe it's Martha Stewart. I don't know. I don't know who, but you can follow all kinds of people. If you're into cars, maybe you're a disciple of Chip Foose. Maybe you watch Overhaul and on. I used to watch that all the time, right? Maybe you're a mechanic and you learn from somebody, or in university, or whatever the case might be, or in our area, which would make total sense. Many of you would have grown up being disciples to an older fisherman who taught you how to do that and how to do it right and do it their way. And learn it and to do it properly and effectively. You were, in fact, a disciple. You couldn't just do it your way. You had to do it a certain way. And I think that's sometimes what we struggle with as individuals, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, is we desperately want to go, yep, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to do it all this way over here. And it just doesn't work. There is a cost to being a disciple. There's a cost. Luke 14, 25 to 35, Jesus says, and I'm going to read right through it. And I'll be honest with you, it actually makes me uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but it makes me uncomfortable, and I think that's okay. I think it should make us uncomfortable. And then we have to try to work through it and figure it out. Jesus, in verse 25, says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for the terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses the saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If it neither for soil nor for the manure pile, it is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, which is a hilarious statement, in my opinion. Because who in the group was going? Anyways, maybe it's just me. Everyone has ears to hear. There are three statements in here that are incredible in counting and evaluating where I am as a disciple of Jesus. Jesus makes very strong statements, and three of them he makes in regards to the interrelationships in which being a disciple will play out within, and he talks about family structures here, to his own life. If he does not hate it or see it as in less esteemed or less important than Jesus, we cannot be a disciple. There's no wishy-washy there. That's which is crazy to me. He says, You cannot if these things don't happen. Now, you might look at that very quickly, and I'm going to summarize quickly, because if you hate, if he does not hate his father and mother and wife, children, and so on and so forth, isn't in a sense of contempt and disdain for, but in comparison or even perceived by them, that they are disliked by you because you're willing to choose Jesus' way of doing things over theirs. And it doesn't take long to figure out within the context of family and interpersonal relationships, if you want to, if for whatever reason, to choose, you know, this is why I think how Jesus would do this. This is how I think this would play out. I won't be long before there's some angst and perceptions, even down to maybe, well, you think you're better than, or this or that or the other thing. But at the end of the day, Jesus wants to embrace him fully, and it may be comparable to or perceived by that, you know what? Jesus' way is more beneficial than mine or yours or anyone really close to you. Jesus knew the ramifications of that. It's amazing how that plays out and how we view it and how it can affect us personally, the people around us. The second part of that is, then he also says, even his own life. If anyone does not carry his own cross and follow me, cannot be my disciple. Again, these are uncomfortable. Let me put my words around that for you. The process of being a disciple of Jesus and that personal relationship with him that's between me and him. It's not me and Sherwin and Jesus. You know, it's not me and my kids and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. That's the platform. Between me and him. And this idea of, if I'm not willing to carry my cross, I've wrestled with that statement. It's somewhat metaphorical. It gives us certain impressions or things. And as I read and kind of looked at different things around that, I think the reality is, if anyone does not carry his cross, the cross was the method of self, of death. The idea of laying ourselves down, even his own life, the process of death to self. Whatever that takes. To die to self, the constant tug of war going on inside with our own flesh and who we are, which is incredibly difficult. What I love about this is I actually like saying this isn't easy. I'm reminded of the verses in Matthew 7:13, where Jesus says, he talks about the wide and the narrow road, and few will find it. It's not that it isn't available to everyone. The reality is many won't want to count the cost. But the cost, there is also reward, which is amazing in the story of being a disciple and follower of Jesus, that there is reward, there is freedom, there is truth, there is life. Those are all the things. But I think where we get caught up and floundering, and where I've even found myself at times is, well, why isn't Christianity supposed to be easy? Well, I'm a Christian, so why doesn't this go my way? Well, I'm a Christian. Why is this happening? Why? You know what? It's not easy. We have to work for it. We have to be willing to put ourselves under that leadership and his teaching and allow him to infiltrate our lives. And it's going to take work. It's going to take work. That's not a bad thing. We also need to release ownership of the things. Jesus says, give up everything he owns. You know, we are in a culture where we hold for ourselves and we own things and so on and so forth. And in verse 33, it says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, we've got to realize there's an element of surrender to the things that we have and the ownership of the things we have, and be able to release those things as not ours, as not ours, but his to use, and see them in their right place. There's characteristics of a Jesus disciple. There's a cost. There's the reality that interpersonal relationships will become strained or perceived that we view people a certain way because we choose how Jesus would do something. That does not mean that we hate them, as the terminology says. It doesn't mean that we disdain them. But in comparable to who Jesus is, it would be perceived and can certainly be played out that way. If I follow Jesus where he wants me to go, how he wants me to be, it doesn't make me better, it doesn't make me anything. But how that plays out can certainly bring strain, even amongst Christians. I see that playing out all the time now in lots of areas. It's even playing out there. So, there's a cost. There's a characteristics of it. Here quickly, in John 8, these verses, some of them you will know. Many of you will know these verses. John 8, 31. John 8, 31. Jesus says to the Jews who had believed in him, that's who he's talking to, that's his audience. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The difference between what he was laying out and teaching to people was a freedom. It was a freedom they were looking for. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Even the disciples in Jesus' day, even these guys and Christians, they got all floundered in this, right? Because they would be like, well, I'm a disciple. I follow Peter. I follow this guy. I follow that guy. The real spiritual one says, yeah, well, we follow Jesus. We got you all. Trump card. We follow him. Jesus says, if you follow me, if you hold to my teachings, if you hear what I have said to you and you do it, that is a characteristic of being my disciple. As a disciple, that means we don't just hear it and know about his teaching. I think one thing that we've done, and I found this, I mean, I grew up in church world. Everything was church for me. Church for me, church, 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 then Bible school, Bible school, Bible school, pastoring, 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 pastoring. I can tell you, I knew a lot about Jesus' teaching. I know way more about it than I actually know practically. I can read books and theology books and backgrounds and so on and so forth. It's amazing what you can know about it. Jesus said, I don't want you to be able to pass an exam on how much you know about what I've taught. He says, I want you to hold to it. I want you to hear what I've taught you, and I want you to hold on to it like your life depends on it. That makes you a disciple of mine. That's a characteristic. And I think we get caught up in so much peripheral stuff and following church pop culture leaders and this guy and that writer and this one, and they're all good and can be great in building of the body, but we get so caught, it's amazing, we want to follow. And Jesus says, whoa, I've taught you a whole pile of stuff. I've taught you a whole pile of stuff that's going to bring peace to your life and freedom to your heart. All of these things. Forgiveness for your sin. I've taught you all these things. I want you to hold to what I've taught you. And we need to dig deep into what he has taught. That's a characteristic of a disciple of Jesus. We don't just know about it, but it's infiltrating who we are by the Holy Spirit and going, nope. You need this one. You need this one. And I can tell you there's many, many times I could know about it. I can function in it. I can check all the boxes. I can do all the religiosity. But if the teaching of Jesus are not held to and do not infiltrate my heart and who I am, then I don't fit the category. If you hold to it, easier said than done. Agreed? Easier said than done. And that's okay to admit. You're in a room where you should be able to admit you struggle with this. And you go, man, I don't know. I wrestle with this, I wrestle with that. This should be the place that we can actually go, you know what? It is hard. It's not easy. But hold to it, hold to it, hold to it. The other one is John 13, 34 to 35, where Jesus lays out another characteristic, again, which I absolutely love. You know what? He keeps things simple in principle, difficult in behavior. He says in John 13, 34 to 35, and again, some of you will know these verses, but he says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Isn't that great? Loving people. Oh, man, it's brutal. We've all been challenged on wanting to love people. But Jesus says, oh, by the way, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He never says how smart you are, how much you know, how many classes you've been through. We've wrapped discipleship into courses and one-on-one classes and this. We have every book you can imagine. They are all good and can be useful. But in practicality, Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you give the love that is required that others need, if you give it away, even when you don't want to give it away, because we want to withhold. Jesus says, that's how the world, that's how men are going to know. That's how all men are going to know. It's a love that is different. It's a love that's it's truly unconditional, and it's hard to give love away. But the reality is we give love often because it impacts us. But when we love others, what we're actually doing is we're giving love to somebody what they need. We're providing what that is for what they need. It's not actually about me. And we give it away. Jesus says, this is how they will know, how you love one another. Our discipleship plays out in the field of interpersonal relationships. Never how much we know. Never how much we know. There's not going to be an exam to how you, if you got all everything right. If life's taking you different places, you realize it doesn't come down to all of that. It comes down to something so much greater. And to be a disciple of Jesus is to be in an intimate, one-on-one followership of Him between me and Him. The payoff, the reward is so much better. We don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to feel, ugh. We don't like it when life does that to us. We don't like it when our own choices do that to us. We don't like it, you know, it's uncomfortable. But and I was talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about some stuff going on in our culture, and I made the comment to him. I kind of had this epiphany that the common ground of being uncomfortable is a great place where God can do something really great. If we are uncomfortable with something, if we're completely at ease and uncomfortable, we just roll with it. It's easy, no big deal. But I think if we find ourselves in places of discomfort, that's where God's digging His finger and He's maybe rattling some things that you thought or whatever. Those are great things. If you're wrestling this morning going, man, I those cannot statements are pretty harsh. Yeah, they are. They make us kind of oof. But it's because Jesus wants it to play out in the world and through relationships. And loving others is hard. Loving as Jesus loved, as He says. And He says, as I have loved you, so must you love one another. Again, that's not a, well, if you have your cup of coffee, then you can love everybody. Or if you've had four, or whatever, then you can. He's like, yeah, no, this is what you got to do. And then being a missions weekend, we're going to end with this. The commission of a Jesus disciple is Matthew 28:19. Go into all the world. Go out. Make disciples. Right? So when you think about missions, think about this. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to leave it hanging out there, and it might make some of you uncomfortable. Your objective isn't just to get somebody to convert to Christianity. Now, we use the word convert out of conversion. Someone comes to Jesus and we do that. And that is actually what it is. But what we're inviting people to for a conversation and through our lives is a profound experience being a disciple. That's even deeper than just saying and going after. You can convert anyone in this room right now. You could convert to another world religion if you like. Like, they have a process. You can convert to Catholicism. Like, you can go down the road to the Catholic Church, say, I want to be one, and they're going to give you a series of stipulations in order to do that. Like, you can convert to Catholicism. Discipleship is really deep, way deeper. And as we think about the Great Commission, as we think about missions, as we think about reaching young students, as I live every day, as we think about these different things, to be a disciple and to go and to make more is an incredibly profound experience. And we're actually inviting something into something that's incredibly rewarding. It will give more than what's all out there. But it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's easy. I don't know about you, but I do. I wrestle. I wrestle through some of these things because it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me think, you know, and question certain things. And all of those things are healthy, healthy things to do. And what I love about it is that God shows up time and time and time again. Matthew 10:39, I'm just going to leave it right here and then we're going to pray. It says Matthew 10:39, Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We're all in the pursuit of life, trying to find it in lots of things. And Jesus simplifies it. Whoever is willing and finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for making us uncomfortable. Many times in my process of following you, there's lots of discomfort. There's questions. There's all kinds of things. But I thank you for showing up over and over and over again, and that through this pursuit, through engaging as a disciple, follower of Jesus in the deepest sense, you show up time and time again. And as we think about inviting others into and being examples of Jesus in this world, of grace and love to people, as we invite them in, we're inviting them into something profound. Not just a decision to convert to a new system, but a life change of following and discipleship of who Jesus is, and the greatest rewards come. And so, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for this time together, Lord. I pray that you've challenged us, that you've poked and prodded in our hearts a little bit, and maybe made us a little uncomfortable, which isn't a bad thing. May we wrestle continually to follow you and pursue you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.